Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
This is from a book, Ezra, which doesn't get preached on very much. But Ezra and Nehemiah are the two books of the Bible that kind of chronicle the post-exile experience. And the exile, if you heard about it last week or if you didn't hear about it last week, the exile is this 70-year period in which the Israelites are basically kicked out of Israel. They're kicked out of the northern kingdom of Israel. They're kicked out of the southern kingdom of Judah and sent to live amongst the Babylonians. It's a military strategy in one sense. The Babylonians conquer them. They take all their best leaders, their religious leaders, anyone who can organize a rebellion, and they take them out of their comfort zone. They take them and they actually put them to work for the Babylonians. And some of these Israelites start to enculturate with the Babylonians. They start to realize this is a good life. Some of them really rebel. You hear the story of Daniel, and Daniel stands up and he fasts because he won't eat any of the king's food. He's in the lion's den because he refuses to bow down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. And so we see Israelites who remain faithful in this. And yet, even still, there are some Israelites who remain at home, lost, kind of wandering in there. And the way that they view this is they view that they have not been faithful to God. And God, out of that discipline, that God says, you must be faithful, God sends them away for 70 years, sends them away from their promised land. Now, remember that the Israelite identity is based upon the land that God gave them and the temple. We didn't talk about the temple too much in terms of the kings, but the temple is the temple that King Solomon built. And this was the locus, the very focus of God's existence on this earth. All sacrifices appropriately were made in the temple if you could get there. All worship was done in the temple. All religion was held in the temple. The temple was the center of life. And so what happens when the temple is torn down by the Babylonians? It is destroyed. And so the center where God resides is torn down. And they're forced to go into Babylon, and there are psalms that talk about how do we sing a strange song in a strange land, and oh, how long will we, until we sing a new song, that we return back to Israel. But as we see in the verse from Ezra, that God's steadfast love for Israel lasts forever. And we'll hear from Jeremiah later on, the end of Jeremiah, the great prophet, who even before the exile ends, says that at one point in your life, the iniquity of Israel will not be found. We will not find sin with you anymore, and you will be allowed to return. Now, for those of you who don't necessarily get the image of this, think about if Jerry World over in Arlington, for some reason, were just to suddenly combust. And all of the signs of the devil that is Jerry Jones in most people's eyes around here just went away. And somebody raised enough money to buy the team of the Dallas Cowboys, those local gods that they are, no matter how much they stink these days, and they rebuilt Texas Stadium, right? And even beyond that, somebody, somehow in some mystical presence, Tom Landry becomes the coach of the Dallas Cowboys again, right? We've got hands raised. I've heard a few woo-hoos in here. I haven't even got to the point yet, and they're still woo-hooing. Because it's that good, right? Because for people who were alive during the Tom Landry era, they remember that era as dominance. It was awesome. It was discipline. It was a great team year in and year out. That's the good old days. That's the days we remember when everything was right. There was order established in the world. For those of you who, I grew up during the 90s and I saw the three Super Bowls. Things were going all right, but mostly I've lived through the era of what could be, right? We've got Tony Romo, who should be a great quarterback. We've got all these players that should be great players, yet for some reason we keep going 8-8 throughout the entire thing. So I live in the what could be. I've heard of the glory days of Tom Landry. I've seen some of that in the 90s, but yet it's the could be. This is the same thing that happens in Israel. It's the people who survive the Babylonian exile. They are returning back to Israel where they once saw this great house of the Lord, this great temple existing. And we read in Ezra that those people are weeping because they remember how great it was when we were focused on the Lord our God. They remember what it was like before the exile, when King David reigned, before the exile, when Moses led them out of captivity. They remember the power that God had over their lives. And when they were faithful to God, when they were following God's law, how well things were going for them. And yet they also weep because of what might have been, had we not somehow veered off course. What might have been if we would have remembered in the back of our minds and the forefront of our minds and our hearts that God is God alone, and that no amount of money or power or women or horses or all the things I've mentioned that drew people away in those days could ever lead to a better life than the one that God would prescribe for us. And yet we also get, in Ezra, we get the new people, right? The new people who, we were born in Babylon. Or maybe they were born back in Judea or born in the northern kingdom of Israel when the exile was happening. They're the anywhere from 0 to 70-year-old people, essentially. And they are rejoicing and shouting a song so loudly it is heard for miles because of what is finally to come. They've got this new revelation of hope. They have what is the center of God. Everything they've heard about that could be glorious, everything that they've dreamed about that could be glorious, is finally coming to fruition in their eyes. They're finally seeing all that could be, right? God is in our presence again. No longer are we apart from God's presence. We are strictly and confidently loved. And we can see that, and we can feel that. We can do proper religion. We can do proper belief. We can do proper sacrifice again. And they are so excited about just the very notion of essentially going to church that they shout for people from miles can hear them. Because they're excited about what they've heard could be. Now, I've told you before that in Israel, in the Old Testament especially, in Israelite theology and in Jewishness, there's very little about you individually. It's about the community. It's about what the community is supposed to be, is, and could be. When they're sent off into exile, it's because the community was at fault. When they're sent off into exile, it's because the community, whether it be one person or whether it be 10 or whether it be 20 or whether it be 50 or whether it be thousands, was at fault. They're the ones who started leading their lives astray. But it was also because of the community that is the covenant of God. The community is the one that God established a covenant with. The community from the beginning all the way until the end of the world. The community that will always be the child of God. And so we have God faithful to the community. God not faithful to any one person for what they do. God not faithful to any one person because God loves them more than anybody else. God is faithful to the church. And God's steadfast love for Israel, for the church, remains forever. Wherever the exile might be, wherever that place may be, God will always say, welcome home at some point in history. God will always give us a reason to come home, to see what was familiar, what was great, what were the things that we strove for in those highest ideals of our home. And for all the new people that come along with us to see what could be, what can we build up towards? Now that we're out of exile, now that we're out of the powers that we've subjected ourselves to, now that we're out of those places in which we have left God, and now we're back with God, what could be when God says, welcome home? Because remember, as I told the confirmation class at their retreat, that faith is about, or confirmation and is about confirming the faith that God is always steadfast and loving toward us. It's confirming that fact in our lives. And that we are making a response to God's grace. And so the Israelites' response was a song and a shout so loud that it is heard for miles apart, miles away, that everyone around them would know how much that they are devoted and loved, in love with God. And so we have to ask ourselves the same question as a community of faith, as individuals who are part of a community of faith, a covenant in which God has repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly told us, I will always love you. I will always be present with you. I will always say, welcome home. Remember the story of the prodigal son. Welcome home. We will throw a feast for you when you are back in covenant with me fully. And we ask ourselves the question of what is our response to God after being brought out of exile? After overcoming those periods of doubt, after overcoming the periods of away from faith, after overcoming the periods of tragedy in our lives, after those periods in which we don't feel God is close to us anymore, but yet we find our way back because God's steadfast love has found us again. And what is our response to that? How will we become what Israel was to be, right? The grand old vision that Israel would be a city on a hill, a city on a mountain to where people could see the light of God shine for miles around. And they would be attracted to the city and that all nations would come into the kingdom of Israel because they saw how brightly this light shined, the hope that was present in there, the promise of a lifestyle lived according to God's commandments, not according to wealth or not according to popularity or power or whatever else we ascribe meaning to, but only according to God's light. the light of forgiveness and mercy and justice and equality, those virtues that we lift up yet we somehow strive to not reach. We are not able to reach them in our lives. And so what will our response be? What could be? We'll get into this in a little bit, but there is one response that is happening right now, a response that is a new program starting up. It is taking some of those people who have seen the promised land. They've been in that area of goodness. They've seen what those pockets of faith look like when we are doing true mission inside of the church, and they've decided to pass that on to a younger generation who is coming up into the church, and they're seeing what could be, right? I told the confirmation class last night, we talked about the rich young ruler, and that there's a first question, and Jesus basically says, you need to be a nice person. And then the rich young ruler goes one step further and says, I am a nice person. Jesus says, well, leave everything and follow me. And this group of people is taking up young disciples, elementary kids, and they are teaching them to leave everything to follow Jesus. They are teaching him that Jesus' mission in the world, that love of God and love of neighbor is the only thing that matters in the eternal scheme of life. I got my friend Nora Regas here who's going to read the scripture, and she accepted the challenge of all the really, really big words in here. So, here you go.
I will restore all Israel to his pasture, and it shall feed on Carmel and in Bashan, on the hills of Ephraim and Gilead. Its hunger shall be satisfied in those days, at that time, says the Lord, in the
iniquity. There you go.
Iniquity of Israel shall be sought, and there shall be none in the sons of Judah, and none shall be found, for I will pardon the remnant that I have spared.
Very awesome. Give Noah a round of applause. So that passage comes out of one of the last chapters of the book of Jeremiah, and I was not able to listen to Dina's sermon from last week, but I hope she told you that Jeremiah was actually a book of prophecy. It was a book of God's word to the people before they went into exile. And so at the very end of Jeremiah, after literally Jeremiah has torn the Israelites a new one throughout the book, he still reminds the Israelite people that God at one point will look upon you and will not find any iniquity, will not find any sin, that God will cause you to be holy in the sight of the Lord and allow you to return to the place of God, right? So the Israelites are back in the promised land. We are back in the community of God. We are in the church of Jesus Christ. We are accepted into the full fold of God. We are confirmed in our faith, and therefore it is our response, as we talked about, our response of how joyful do you feel that your sins have been lifted away? How joyful do you feel that any bad decision you have made has been lifted away in the sight of God? How joyful do you feel that those around you ought to be looking at you with God's eyes and saying, I love you for who God created you to be in this community here? How joyful does it make you feel to be redeemed, to be uplifted, to be loved? How joyful does it feel to have a God who loves you enough to discipline you and to bring you back into the fold? And so our response is one of shouting for all the world around us to hear. Our response is to form a community in which people want to be a part of something radically transformational and different and awesome amongst the rest of the world. Our response is to be a church on a hill, a city of light, a nation of believers, a world of people spreading the good news. Because if you felt that moment of redemption, if you felt that moment of God's closeness to you, if you felt that moment of a small group's intimacy within a religious context, if you felt that moment of being on a mission trip and seeing somebody have a house for the first time, if you've seen somebody have clean water for the first time, if you've seen the look on people's faces when the church is able to step up for them when they can't provide rent for themselves anymore and they're one step away from the street, if you've seen that moment of God's love in action, then you know how it feels and you want other people to experience that. And so while the Old Testament, while Israel is a community of faith and we ought to see ourselves as a community, one organism working together, Jeremiah and then especially the story of the prodigal son and many of the stories of Jesus bring this down to a personal level. Remember, the prodigal son is a story of return from exile. It's the story of the prodigal son, the one who had gone off, left the father, gone off to spoil his inheritance, came back expecting to be a slave or to work with the pigs, the lowest form of life, and yet the father accepts him and throws a party for him. And that's you and that's me. That is the individual who is away from the father and comes back to closeness and to excitement. And so I hope whatever the goal of today, the goal of your own soul after this message and after this worship service is kind of like this Mission Possible Kids program for children, is to figure out what is my response? How do I make the good news known to the people around me? How do I be a light to the world? How am I a person on a hill that people want to come and figure out what I've got in my life, this moment of redemption, of cleanliness, of acceptance, of joy because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross? What is it about that person that I want to be with them or they want to be with me? And so this could be verbal. It could be a discipleship process. It could be someone you know in your life that you intentionally want to sit down and work through the scriptures with. And chances are they'll teach you more than you teach them, but it's a good relationship building experience. It could be leading a Mission Impossible Kids. You might be one of those old salt persons who's experienced what it was like in the good old grand times, and you want to pass that on to the people who are excited about what could be. So Mission Impossible Kids, Children's Sunday School, Vacation Bible Camp, Upward Camp, whatever. You could respond by missions. You could respond by teaching being a part of a small group. You could respond simply by building relationships in your work or with your students at school or various other opportunities in which they would experience a more peaceful presence, a more joyful presence than maybe they are experiencing at home or in the rest of the world. You could sell everything, give it to the poor, and come follow Jesus. There's a whole bevy of responses that you can make. The ultimate is that sell everything and follow Jesus, that be in full community, be in the temple, be in the Holy of Holies experience. But we recognize that sanctification is a process. We recognize that after that experience of redemption, it's hard in our 21st century world to just give up everything, right? And follow Jesus. We have so many responsibilities. We have so many things weighing us down. We have so many societal expectations. But what can you do as an individual? And then how does your individual passion translate to this community or your small group or the church at large so that our community may take one step closer to that shout so loud that people from miles away can hear it? One step closer to rebuilding the temple. One step closer to full communion with God. One step closer to walking around in our world outside of this church and realizing the presence of God fully, even when we're not in worship formally. And so I'll leave you with a challenge for that, with the knowledge that if you want help working out that challenge, if you want help figuring out what your response is or how you are going to be a city on a hill and a light to the world, please come chat with me or, well, Pastor John when he comes, Pastor Dina while she's here, any of the staff members, or heck, someone in your small group. Start that conversation of, I so desperately want to respond to God's grace. I so desperately want to be out of exile. How do I do this? And the first step is always going to be, let's pray. And we'll continue to pray and we will keep praying and we will hear God's voice in this. But myself or someone around you, we can help you identify God's gifts and skills that have been given to you. We can help you identify where your place is in this world, how you might joyfully serve. Even if you work 90 hours a week, we can find some place where you may joyfully show people the love of God, and you may help bring other people back from exile so that they can be in that joyful place of the temple. So if you didn't hear, I was talking about the goal of Jesus was for all people to see the love and life of Jesus and to be attracted to that. Through feedback and everything, they would be attracted to that. Through distractions and everything, they would be attracted to that. And through his community of 12, that was Jesus's main goal, was train up this community of 12 so that community of 12 would go out and reach millions and billions across the world. And so he sat down with this group of 12 on the night that he gave himself up in sacrificial. You know, he tells us to give up everything and follow him. Well, he gave up everything so that we might follow him. And on that night, he took the bread and he broke it, which I will do in a little bit, since I have my hands full. He took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup of his blood poured out, and said, this is my cup of a new covenant, one in which I take your iniquities away. I take your sins away. Believe in me and drink of it, and you will experience grace. And so together as a community, we pray that the Holy Spirit would come upon this gift of bread and juice, that it would be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that we may be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, shouting a song so loud that people from miles away might hear it and come to see what we are shouting about. Amen. Let's say a prayer and then DMAC will close our service for us. Gracious God, we accept the love that you freely offer us. We repent of going into exile. We repent of what has sent us away from you. But Lord, we are back. We accept your welcome back, and we are so grateful for it. We are so grateful that we are going to respond with a shout so loud that people from miles around would hear. We are so excited that you have found us to be holy from the beginning of time. And through your Son, Jesus Christ, we may be in the Holy of Holies with you. And so let us run with that presence. Let us run with that joy. Let us feel engulfed in your love and mystery, and surround us with your Spirit, so that we may be people who leave it all and go out for you. We may be a city on a hill that people might gravitate for us. Lord, let us hear our individual calling and let us find a community to support that calling. Let us move forward in ministry with each other and with you. And it's in your Son's name that we pray here today. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.